Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I am Anthony Cates, and this is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. I'd like to thank you for joining me today as we discuss Saturdays and Sundays pitching streams. Paul hosted yesterday, and he will be back tomorrow on Monday, so you probably won't hear me back on the pod until Tuesday. If you listened to the pod yesterday, Paul was talking about how on his family vacations growing up, he had to deal with his mother and his ex-brother-in-law snoring a lot on vacations, which got me to thinking about, my family vacations growing up. And I'm from Texas, and pretty much the only places we went to, like, theme park-wise, would be Six Flags Over Texas, which is, it's very fun at a young age. All the games, all the rides. I love eating all the food there. I like to call it carnival food at places like that. But, you know, it's just fatty, fried foods. Then we went to SeaWorld, like a lot of people, you know, got to see the orcas and the porpoises and, you know, the dolphins. You watch the shows and you learn about marine life. And then as an adult, for the first time in my life, I went to Disney World a few years ago. It was a decade ago. A few years feels like it shouldn't be that far away. But I went to Disney World for the first time, and I tell you, man, I know it's expensive, but, you know, it's completely worth going to. I enjoyed every dollar I spent there, whether I was buying food, buying gifts, buying clothes, buying memorabilia, tipping our servers, tipping everybody. Just the rides, the nostalgia. I won't lie. When I saw fireworks at Epcot over Spaceship Earth, it brought a tear to my eye, right? Little Anthony was seeing it for the first time in person, not just Big Anthony. And the food there is just wonderful. You know, I'd love to do a drinking around the world at Epcot one day, but we had my young son at the time, so I didn't feel like having a bunch of drinks would be appropriate. And then this summer, I'm going to miss out on it because of work, but my wife and children are going to head up to Dollywood in a few weeks. They're going to go visit my wife's grandmother and then head out to Pigeon Forge and spend a day or two at Dollywood, riding the rides, eating the food, playing the games. And which makes me, you know, I want to know you guys, the listeners, what are your favorite theme parks to go to? Or what theme parks did you go to as a kid? Hit me up on Twitter, tag me, DM me, whatever, at AKFantasyBB, and let me know what those theme parks are. What are your favorites? What are your hidden gems? What are ones that maybe you only know about if you're from a certain part of America? Now, before we dive into the podcast, we do want to thank our friends at BetOnline, which is the number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, and soccer to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. And when the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or just unwind with one of their over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here. Now, today we're going to briefly go over Paul's recommended streamers for Saturday, and then we are going to dive deeper into my guys for Sunday. Before we do that, though, make sure follow me again on Twitter at AKFantasyBB. Follow the Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball account at EthosFantasyBB. And we'll drop, every day we're going to have all of our articles, our analysis, our insight. We tweet out, when the podcast goes live. We'll have to tweet out stats. We talk about the games that are going on. But what we're trying to do is keep you one step ahead of all your league mates every day as much as we can. Now, the rules for the pickups are simple. As you know, if you've been listening, if you haven't been, the only starters that we care about are starters that are rostered in 65% of leagues or less. If we don't mention somebody, it's usually for one of two reasons. They're owned in too many leagues, so you're not going to be able to stream them, or they're just a terrible option to stream, so we're not going to recommend them. Now, for Saturday, Paul has quite a few names to mention. Some of that's because of a doubleheader with Chicago and St. Louis, and some of that's just because there's a lot of under-rostered arms for Saturday, but he has Gavin Williams at the Rays, Simeon Woods Richardson versus the Giants, Christian Scott at home against the Rockies, and that's kind of the big one going, Spencer Arrighetti versus the Rangers, Jose Soriano against the Mariners, And then Mitchell Parker at the Brewers, he's got him listed as a yellow flag just because the Brewers offense is pretty good, but Parker's been pitching well. So it's just kind of a risk either way. He's starting an old Astros fan favorite pitching for the Brewers on the other side, Dallas Keuchel versus the Nationals. Luis L. Ortiz in Chicago against the White Sox. And then one half of the Cubs doubleheader, he's taking Kyle Gibson against the Cubs. He has the Dodgers' Justin Robleski facing the Tigers. And then Matt Waldron, who I thought was starting Friday, he's now starting today facing the Braves. He is fading two arms, and that's Zach Little at home against the Guardians. And then in one of the other Cubs games, he's fading Lance Lynn against the Cubs. And, you know, as always, if you want to know more about why Paul has chosen who he's chosen, just go back and listen to yesterday's podcast. He's going to give you the statistics, the analysis, everything you need to know behind his decisions. After you do that, come back, finish listening to me, and then head on over to our website, sportsethos.com, and just, you know, go over everything we have in our fantasy baseball department. Every day of the regular season, we have our pickups of the day. We're going to recommend 3, 4, or 5 guys that you should consider picking up in various league sizes that should help you enhance your chances at winning your league. Yesterday, on Friday, I dropped my weekly risers and fallers column. This one was all risers, just because to celebrate All-Star Week and talk about nothing but positivity. And then Nathan dropped a player profiler on the proficient knuckleballer Matt Waldron. And then over the days ahead, over the All-Star break, we do have a couple of All-Star-based articles. We have the Fantasy All-Stars of the first half. We have our Fantasy Duds of the first half. And then we're going to do the Fantasy Prospects of the first half. Plus, we're kind of putting together a group project, if you will, of second half predictions where we're going to, you know, kind of guesstimate trades, prospect call-ups. We're all going to predict who we think are going to win the MVPs, the Cy Youngs, the Rookies of the Year, plus the division, wild card, pennant, World Series winners. So you got that to look forward to over the next 4, 5, 6 days. Let's go ahead and dive into my streams for Sunday. Like I said earlier, it's all about positivity today because of the All-Star break coming up. So all I have are streamers. I don't have any yellow flags. I don't have any fades. Let's go into Monday and the new week. A little streak of positivity. All the numbers I'm using, I decided to reduce the time frame I've been using from 4 weeks to 3 weeks. I just think the further back we go, the less we can kind of use those numbers. So our number one streamer, if you will, this is just by roster percentage, is Jameson Taillon of the Chicago Cubs. He is 49% rostered. He'll be facing the Cardinals in St. Louis. And the reason I really like Taillon is he has been just excellent over his last 4 starts. He's got a 29-2 strikeout to walk ratio, and that's over 26 innings. He's allowed 9 runs, only 8 of those earned, though he did allow a home run in all 4 games. His ERA is 2.77. His xFIP is only at 3.2. So he's playing well within the expectations. The key thing here is he has allowed a 54% fly ball rate over those games, but only a 16.7% line drive rate. And the hard hit rate has only been at 34.3%. So even though he's allowing a lot of fly balls, they're not going very far. And he's keeping the line drives down, which means he's keeping the hits down. The Cardinals have been one of the, one of the 10 or 11 worst offenses against right-hand pitchers at home over the last 3 weeks. The 10th worst WRC plus of 99. Their OPS is 11th worst at 683. They have the 9th worst slugging at 376. The 6th worst walk rate at 6.6%. And the 4th highest soft hit rate at 19.3%. They do, though, have 7th highest fly ball rate, 42.3%, and the 10th best hard hit rate at 34.4%. But I'm choosing the better arm. I do think Taillon, his skill level, he's still really good, is better than, you know, how the Cardinals have been performing lately. Since he's basically rostered in half of all leagues, I know he's starting in pretty much every deep league. But I'm starting him in 12-team leagues pretty confidently. And even in some 10-team leagues, if you just need some pitching help, or if you're hoping to get a little bit of extra volume in before the All-Star break, I throw him out there as well. Next up is another player rostered in 49% of leagues, and that's Yusei Kikuchi of the Toronto Blue Jays. He'll be pitching at the Diamondbacks in Arizona. And this one might, you might go, man, why are you choosing Kikuchi here? But if you're just looking at his ERA and WHIP, right, you're like, man, this guy has not been pitching well at all. But kind of look under the hood and you realize he's had some bad, batted ball luck. He does have a BABIP of 380 over those four games, but he struck out 12.6 batters per nine innings. He's walked only 1.8 per nine. Well, that's 28 strikeouts to four walks over those four games. And he allowed 12 earned runs with four home runs, but his xFIP is only a 2.73, which is, that kind of tells you a lot of bad luck. This guy should have been performing better. And this is good because he's facing an Arizona team whose hitters have kind of been, I don't know, kind of in the middle third of all MLB teams lately. In terms of their WRC plus, it's a 104. Their OPS is 736, a 381 slug. Their OBP is the eighth best over that time frame at 355. And they have a really solid strikeout rate at 17.5%, solid walk rate at 9.3%. But unlike on the batted ball side of things, they've got the fourth lowest fly ball rate at 27.8%. Their ground ball rate is 52.3%, fifth highest in that time frame, and their hard hit rate is only 33.8%. So they're walking a lot, and they're hitting a ton of balls, making a lot of contact. But out of their 19 hits against left-handed pitching in that time frame, only five have gone for extra bases. So I think they're going to continue to struggle with Kikuchi. I think that, if they get some hits off him, most of them are going to be singles. Maybe they'll luck into an extra base hit or two. But like Tyone, he's owned in almost half of all leagues. So we're talking 12-team leagues here, where I feel pretty safe with starting him in. And again, 10-team leagues, if you feel like you need some help, or if you just kind of, look at somebody maybe to pick up when the All-Star break happens, keep an eye on him. If he really pitches really well against the Diamondbacks, like I think he will, he's a guy who might start popping up on 10-team rosters for, maybe the rest of the season. Next up, is a name who, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about might be out of a rotation spot, and that's Brian Bello, Boston Red Sox. He's rostered 48% of leagues now, and he'll be at home against the Royals. Just a couple of weeks ago, he was struggling, high walk rate, allowing a lot of runs, a lot of home runs. And we were talking like, hey, if he doesn't get his act together, like Boston might throw him with a bullpen, they might demote him. Well, if you look at his last four starts, he has allowed 15 earned runs over 20.1, 20 and a third innings, but 12 of those runs came over two of the four starts, right? And in one of the games where he allowed five runs, which is against the Athletics, he also struck out 11. I just had a really bad batted ball and home run to fly ball luck. Two-thirds of all balls that were hit, that were in play, landed for hits, and he allowed two fly balls, and one of them was a home run, right? But then you look at his numbers. So that wasn't the only tough game. Over those four games, his BABIP is at 464, which is just kind of insane. But he struck out 11.51 per nine. He walked 3.54 per nine, which is just walks are always going to be a problem for him. But he only allowed the two home runs. His ERA over those four games is a 6.64. But his xFIP tells us that the expected ERA goes like around 3.24. So he was very unlucky. But he's been attacking the hitter early and often now. He's throwing a first pitch strike at 64% of the time. He's getting pitches in the zone almost 54% of the time. And over those four starts, that's a higher rate than he had been the rest of the year. And he's facing a Royals squad that is one of the worst offices of baseball against right-hand pitchers on the road, as they had the fourth lowest WRC plus at 73. They had the seventh lowest OPS at 629. They have the second lowest OBP at 251, the lowest walk rate at 2.6%. But they also have the lowest strikeout rate at 17.2%. They've been hitting more ground balls than fly balls, and have a league worst 14% line drive rate, which, as you know, less line drives means less hits. And when they do make contact, their hard hit rate is only at 30.1%, which is the 11th worst rate in baseball. So I think Bayo is going to have another good game. He's going to continue to shine. I think we're looking at potentially a strikeout an inning, even with the Royals' low strikeout rate. I think he's going to limit the hard hits. He's going to limit extra base hits. And I think we're going to get our third straight win. Going to get his third quality start, his last five starts. And again, he's nearly rostered in half of all leagues, so he'll be started in pretty much every deep league. But I'm willing to risk the volume stats, the win and the strikeouts, and start him in 12-team leagues as well. Our fourth streamer and first one rostered in less than 25% of leagues is Jose Quintana. He pitches for the Mets. He's rostered in 24% of leagues. He'll be at home against the Rockies. And if you look at his last four starts, Quintana is on a heater. He's allowed only three runs, only two of them earned. He's pitched 24 and a third innings. He struck out 21, walked eight, and has only allowed one home run. All of those runs were allowed in the game at home versus the Astros, who did knock him out of the game after four innings, but they just kind of rode the pitch count high, which that's the key to hitter success, basically, against Quintana, is you got to get that pitch count high early. But then the two starts after the Astros, back-to-back seven inning shutouts against the Nationals. His ERA is a 0.76 with a 3.76 xFIP. So yes, he's been very lucky. High left on base percentage, low BABIP. But if you're getting a 3.76 ERA out of like your seventh or eighth starter, or out of a guy you're picking up off the waiver wire like Quintana, like, you're not upset about that. And he's facing a Rockies team that has like the 12th worst WRC plus at 102. But the main reason we're really liking this is they have the second worst strikeout rate at 32.8%. Their walk rate is a terrible 5.8%. They have one of the lowest line drive rates at 14.8%. And they've been hitting more ground balls than fly balls. They've had some home run luck with about a fifth of all their fly balls leaving the ballpark, which is the sixth best in baseball. And they do have a 37.8% hard hit rate, which is the eighth highest. But like they're facing a pitcher who's been limiting hitters to a 3% barrel rate lately. I do think Quintana's more of a 14-15 team league or deeper stream only right now. If you want to chase volume, you know, the Mets are a better team than the Rockies, and I think he's going to get a pretty decent amount of strikeouts. So you could chase the win and the strikeout, but I would not consider him in like 10 teams or shallower, even though I think he's going to pitch well, just because if he blows up in those shallower leagues, it's going to hurt you more. All right, now our fifth and final stream for Sunday, Trevor Rogers of the Miami Marlins. He's 4% rostered, and he'll be facing the Reds in Cincinnati. This is a deep league stream only. I'm talking 16 teams or more, basically. Already in his last two road starts, he fared decent, but he played against the Astros and against the Phillies. So, like, two really good offenses. So, he wasn't dominant, but he did have a quality start against the Phillies, and he limited the Astros to only two runs. And the reason I'm willing to start him in deep league is because he's facing a below-average offense against left-hand pitching at home. The Reds have a WRC plus of 98 over the past 3 weeks against left-handers at home, a 743 OPS. They have the league-worst walk rate of 3.5%. The fourth worst strikeout rate at 27.5%. They're getting on base at a 303 rate. Their ground ball to fly ball ratio is 1.5 ground balls for every fly ball, which has led to the sixth lowest fly ball rate at 30.9%. They have the eighth worst hard hit rate at 26.8%. Though they do have a 22.7% line drive rate, which is fifth best. They have one of the lowest soft hit rates in all of baseball at 10.3%. And they do have a batting average of 276, which is 12th best. But I think that Rogers is a pretty solid volume play. I can see him getting a strikeout per inning, limiting walks, and potentially sneaking a quality start and maybe a win out of the Reds. But again, I'm not starting him in any league shallower than 16 teams. And even then, it's a volume play. So those are our five streams: James Taillon, Yusei Kikuchi, Brian Bayo, Jose Quintana, and Trevor Rogers. And now that we've covered them, right, go ahead, head back over to our website, sportsethos.com, and start to look at what we're doing in the other sports departments, right? Fantasy football, drafts are about to kick off. It's about to be draft season. So we've dropped our 2024 fantasy football draft guide. And it's filled to the brim with all kinds of stuff. We've got positional breakdowns, team breakdowns, mock drafts. We're doing positional rankings. We're going to have ADP tools. We have draft tips. We have draft tools. Just last week, let's see, on Monday, Jacob Dunn posted an article analyzing his Superflex League mock draft that he participated in with a bunch of other fantasy football analysts from other sites. On Tuesday, Nathan Hernandez discussed which are the best offenses for fantasy football running backs. And then Josh Cohen dropped us two articles, one on Wednesday and one on Friday, covering wide receivers. On Wednesday, the article covered the wide receivers he was fading, and then on Friday, the article showcased the wide receivers he's targeting. So he's letting you know the good and the bad at wide receivers in draft right now. If you're a fantasy basketball player, we have our fantasy base basketball podcast every single day, the Fantasy NBA Today, with Aaron Brewski and Steve Alexander, and they cover all NBA relevant fantasy news. Fantasy WNBA players, we got you covered with Fantasy WNBA Today. We've got Kenny Scott. We have the Jared Duo. They cover all aspects of the WNBA to go with, regular daily and weekly fantasy, daily fantasy sports, etc. And then if you're big into European hoops, if you like FIBA, you like the Olympics, then you'd love the EuroLeague Hoops podcast. That's got Andre, Diogo, and Tiago. They cover FIBA, they cover the Olympics, they cover all European hoops leagues. And that's it for today, guys. I want to thank you for hanging out. Just listen to me kind of ramble on and go over all these stats and all these starters and all these teams. Make sure and follow me on Twitter at AKFantasyBB. Follow Sports Ethos, Fantasy Baseball at EthosFantasyBB. Make sure to tune in every single day for the Fantasy MLB Today podcast. Even over the All-Star break, we may not have pickups of the day for your streams of the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but we're still going to have podcasts every day. We're going to be talking about something. So you can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Audible, anywhere and everywhere else that you get your podcasts. Have a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. We'll catch you in the next one. And don't forget, this episode was presented to you by BetOnline.